coming. Pass is picked off.
He's going to go looking again, and it's picked off by Stephon Gilmore down on the right sideline.
Into the end zone, and he's picked off. Back the other way.
And I also have a hilarious picture of me pre-game just playing on games on my iPad that like our photographer has, because he always sends me all the pictures. I have a hilarious picture of me just like, I have all my gear except for like my shoulder pads on, but I'm just sitting at my locker just playing like basically like Brick Breaker on my iPad, and you can see it like crystal clear. Hilarious.
Is that the Ben Koyak version of Brady falling asleep in the locker room before the Super Bowl? I'm just gonna play some video games on the iPad and that's a mature way to go.
That's what you did. My first game in Dublin, I played Subway Surfer for like 45 minutes before the game. Just had one of my best scores.
Well, there you go.
Can we use that to start the podcast, that story? Because I hit record about 15 seconds ago, so it picked you up talking about video games before the locker room. I think that's the perfect positive to start on it.
Sure.
But you mentioned a few seconds ago that you were obviously at Notre Dame for your college career. You happened to be at Notre Dame at a very interesting time, because I was working out, you were there when Manti Te'o was there, and that whole thing kicked off. And obviously that's kind of come back to the forefront again, because there was the whole Netflix documentary and everything like that. Can I just ask you if that had an impact on you guys as individuals in that team alongside Manti Te'o? Because he was so big at the time in college football, and obviously was expected to be a superstar at the NFL, and that changed everything for this young man. I'm just wondering how close you were, and if you actually had a chance, if it affected you or that team at all, if you noticed it.
I mean, during the season, it was obviously, a big spectacle, and it was super talked about. And the team, we didn't know any different. I feel like afterwards, when it came to light, I feel like some people talked about it. It was one of those things when we had team meal, there's some people being like, why you talked to media about it? And, me at the time, I think I was sophomore going into junior year. I was like, no media is talking to me. I don't know. It's not me. So I don't know. You don't have to worry about it with me, but, I don't even remember it affecting on campus. I remember seeing pictures and being like, how have I not seen this? Like, I'm 100 feet away. The campus is not that big. Even the places off campus that all this stuff is happening is not that big. But I haven't seen the documentary yet. But during the season, it fueled a lot, as I know for, especially for him personally, but I know for the team. I think for us, it was more about just winning games. And mm-hmm. It might have fueled some guys in that defense, because obviously, whether you play for the guy beside you, but I know for me personally, just being a young buck, I was just trying to remember the plays and not mess up enough, just so we could win. Do my best personally.
I just wondered, because it's not very often you get to really meet somebody that might have been attached to that at all, kind of thing. And it was it permeated college football to such a degree. Like, I've been into college football a bit, but not loads. And even I knew a lot about like the Manti Te'o story when it all kind of kicked off, because it affected obviously everything else about him getting drafted and everything like that, which is crazy again. Yeah. How even something like that affects people and their draft position. And I don't understand the draft. It's a lottery to me. Like,
they probe into everything when they draft you.
What did they find in your closet then? What did they find in the Koyak closet? Come on.
Oh, some of the things they talk about with me. So I'm very, which from talking to me in person, I'm very mellow and low key, and even in super exciting situations, something might happen. I'm just like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So, so some of the coaches were like, yeah, you don't seem too like excited. And like they were, and they viewed it as a negative. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm just an even keel kind of guy. I don't like to be too high or too low. You know, I will
Nice and
get
stable.
excited sometimes. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So a lot of coaches are like, yeah, like you can see them
Is
writing their
he passionate
notebooks.
about the game kind of thing?
They're like, does he like the game? You know, he doesn't like the. I'm like, I obviously like the game, or I wouldn't still be playing it at this level. Like, would I be taking like a hit from a 260 or 280 pound guy to the head? Probably not if I didn't like the game. So, at the end of the day, I would not be risking my body and possibly my future. So, that was a big thing. I think that people they really, I feel like. They really probed into. I feel like God, they just couldn't understand. They're like, why aren't you just jumping up and down? I'm like, dude, I'm tired. I'm like, I played the most. I'm like, I played the most snaps out of anybody on the team. I'm like, I played every offensive snap, except for one when I had to tell my coach that that wasn't me who made the mistake, and then I had to go back on the field the next play. So I'm like. Ronnie Stanley calls me down on a single back power, and then the outside backer, rushes down and hits the back behind the line. I get called to the sideline and get yelled at. I'm like, dude, you're all American left tackle called me down after me telling him no four times, yell at him. So and then I go running back on the field. Now that was that.
So
So.
did they try and get a reaction out of you then when they were talking to you about stuff like, oh, why are you not? Like, you're just so even keel, nothing changes you. Did they try and like push buttons in some way to get you to act a little higher or a little lower or something like that to kind of.
Yeah, I think they would do that, and then the next thing they would do is like if they couldn't get a button press, they'd be like, okay, well, like here, put a play to like beat this coverage, or like what's a play for this coverage. And if I couldn't think of it off my like head like that, they'd be like, okay, well, we're not sure if you'd be a good fit for the system. I'm like, you could give me like 5 seconds here, and I could probably think of something. It's kind of a really quick job interview.
Also, like,
Rapid fire.
dude, I'm applying to play, not to coach. So you
Yeah, I was
call the
gonna say.
plays, I
Yeah,
run the
why?
play, right?
Without sounding kind of insulting anyway, why would they have anyone but a QB decide to draw up plays? Because although I understand the offense is important, but if you're a receiver, a back, a offensive tackle, well, I can understand for a tackle just drop a protection scheme. But if you're a receiver, a back, or a tight end, surely to know how to beat the coverage is more what the quarterback's got to do to then tell you what to do.
I mean, it really. I mean, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's no. I'm not calling the plays,
No,
but
nor are you writing them either.
yeah. And I mean, it's just like taking like the Wonderlic. Like it's arbitrary. It means absolutely
Nothing.
nothing.
Yeah.
It's just a way of them, trying to get in your head, in a way. I think it. God, I'm not sure. It might have been the Chiefs. That I didn't draw it up quick enough, or I didn't draw it up right when I went to draw it. I was like, wait, and they're like, oh no, so no, like we've seen enough. Like, and I was like, I'm like, wait, and I'm like, I actually know the play that actually will beat quarters coverage. Like, it's one of my favorite plays. I'm like, it beats man, it beats quarters. I'm like, I can draw it up for you right now if you want me to. And I was like, oh wait, no, wait, this guy has it. And I was like, I was trying to remember the backside route. I was like, this is the backside for the quarters beater. Oh, what is it? And like, oh, you can't think of it. Like, it's okay. Like, I don't think if you can't think of it, you're not gonna work. I was
Jeez.
like, really? I
Yeah,
was like, because
Ben,
I can't think.
how dare you not know what the backside wideout is doing on that play? How dare you not be able to draw that up in time?
That's mad. It's like taking a Formula One driver and saying, "Design your engine." What do you mean? Oh, you design your engine. Oh, it's not quick enough. You can't drive. You don't know how to drive a car. What are you doing? You can't do this. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Bonkers.
Oh.
But they probe you. I mean, shoot. I mean, going to the combine, some guys have to come back and go again. You literally are examined. Like, you have like they set you on a table and have like six doctors like give. So the ACL test. They don't just have one doctor do it. They have like a doctor from every single team do that to you, and they do it to every limb. So if you're like, yeah, like my shoulder's a little shaky, it's like. You better get that right because it's about to get twisted and turned 32 times. So, yeah, and that's why if it's bad enough, they're gonna call you back. And what it so that happens in February. They're going to call you back in April before the draft to see if it's been fixed and see what the status of it is. And every team that's interested in you is going to come back and see the results of that.
And I'm sure there'll be extra probing and probing in like April, because they want to be even more rigorous than February to make sure that it's all okay as well.
Yeah. So like that first night you're there, you know, you get all that stuff done, you know, then they send you, once they find any issues, because they do, because you're like, oh yeah, like I've had my knee scoped once in high school. They're like, cool, get an MRI done of his knee. And you're like, what? Like, it was just a scope. It's like MRI, bright knee. So it's like, you find out you're at, you know, one of the 10 hospitals in the local area with 35 other guys, was waiting to get an MRI done till 2 or 3 in the morning. And then you have to wake up at 5 to do your P test, to do your drug test, which you know is coming, which is another reason why I'm like, anyone who fails a drug test at the combine, you know, there's just no brain cells there. I'm sorry.
Just a P test or a hair test as well?
P test. They don't do hair tests.
They don't care about things you've done 6 months ago, eh?
That's why they negotiate. I mean, at the end of the day, NFL owners know guys smoke. They don't really care. They just want to know that you're not dumb enough to do it when they know you're going to get tested. Yeah. So that's what they want to know.
As long as we can paint the correct narrative with you that you're all right, then we like do whatever you want. Just make sure you don't get caught, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not like if you like, the only thing that shows up, well, one, it's a PED, it's a mixture of a PED and it's a mixture of, you know, street drug test, that test. Mm-hmm. Normally you get in the NFL, you get your street drug, your first 2 weeks of training camp now. And then during the year, that's it. So if you want to smoke whenever you want after that. You know, go ahead.
Is there random drug testing throughout the year?
Yeah, but it's only for PEDs.
Oh.
Okay. Poor Ricky Williams, PEDs, man.
And then the suspensions for that, yeah, what, 4 games, and that's it. So that's...
PEDs is for... And I don't even think there's a suspension anymore for... I don't even think there's a suspension anymore now if you... weed, if you get caught smoking.
Yeah,
for the first time,
well, it's legal in a lot of states.
Three,
I guess,
isn't it? So. 3 strikes with it. You're like, there's no suspension initially, then there's like an official reprimand or something, and then it's a fine and suspension or something like that.
It's something. Yeah, I think you get referred to the program your first time. Then the second. It used to be the second time, but I think it's like the third time now. Like, because that's how it used to be. But like, once you're in the program, you get tested like 3 or 4 times a month. Like, you basically get tested every week.
We should phone Josh Gordon and ask him what the process is. I think he's quite familiar with it.
Yeah, McAfee spoke about it as well. He said that it was like having to live like a monk for 2.5 years.
It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous, honestly, because it's not benefiting your game at all. So it's in reality, it's more of a way for. More of a way for like owners to just not pay guys. It's just like, hey, if you finally get, it's like if you finally get caught enough to get suspended for like 4 games, it's like, cool, you're not getting paid for 4 games.
Yeah.
But it's like, also, if you get caught enough times to really get suspended, I'm like, you probably deserve to not get paid for 4 games. Mm. Like if you really get caught smoking like 3 times, like when you know when the tests are, like, come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey man, some people just can't let it go. Not even for those 2 weeks or whatever. Some people just can't let it go.
I mean, I guess so. I mean, it's just one of those things. I'm like, you literally know when the test is. If you really need to smoke that bad, like, come on, like, just wait a couple weeks before.
Yeah.
Don't you smoke are, for this 2 week window.
You are also saying this though in the state of Florida, which is infamous for people making very bad judgment calls and making news about it. So.
That's fair. I mean, Google Florida man on your birthday. See what happens.
Yeah, we have had Shane Vereen getting us to do that already and checking out the best stories that took place on our birthday involving Florida men. There are some pretty good ones around the place.
What was the biggest game that you had?
That I had as a Jaguar?
No, either as a Jag or in college for Notre Dame. What was the biggest game you've had?
So there, I mean, and as a Jag, it was probably the first game. It was probably wild card playoffs. So it was the first game we had made the playoffs in, I think it was like 10 or 15, or hosted a playoff game probably 10 or 15 years. And I caught a touchdown on like fourth and one on the goal line. And the ironic thing was, is it was supposed to be a first down play. So that if it didn't work, you know, we had three downs, whatever. So, you know, I think we were at the, like, 6-yard line, got to like the three, then, you know, ran another play, made it to the two. And third down, you know, we try to punch it and don't get it. Then it's like fourth down. I'm like, you know, we're in big package, and, you know, somehow in my head, I'm like, we're going to call this, aren't we? And then, you know, we call it, and I'm like, ah, shoot. I was like, oh, man. I was like, this is supposed to be the first down play. So that's like, if they change their coverage or they decide to not play the way they want, because it's a one-man route. It's just a play action and one person. So if they just sank saw, because they had been playing hard safety and their outside guy had been playing hard into the, you know, the wing back on, or the wing tight end. And so I just, you know, hard blocked him for a second, just went to the back of the end zone, caught it. It couldn't see it at all. It's right in the sun. So just did the whole catch the sun rule. Could not see it at all. Yeah. So, and that ended up being the only touchdown of the game. So that was a big thing. So that was probably NFL biggest game. And then college, we played Stanford, and we were down, I can't remember by how much, and it was like fourth and 20 and with like a minute left, and I caught a touchdown in the corner of the end zone, the student section. Nice. Right as, you know, right at the end of the game. And I think it was the only touchdown I had in the student section, right by the student section. So yeah.
And they went crazy.
Yeah. Oh, they went nuts. It was a wild one. They busted man up three deep coverage, and they had the guy, we just had like, you know, like a hook in a corner, and I ran the corner, and the guy like bit on the hook, and I was just sitting there, just like, hey, wide open, just sitting in the corner of the end zone.
You don't have to answer this one if you don't want to, Ben.
We'll see. I might have to answer delicately.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Obviously, the postseason touchdown that you caught was against the Bills. You then go and beat Jazz's Steelers in that insane just offense, which anybody who'd seen the Steelers in the playoffs like the previous 15
years, that
was a good
game. I forgot about that.
Where did that come from, that game? That was awesome. And then you go and play the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Did you guys actually believe that the Jags were going to beat the Patriots and Brady with, and I don't mean to be mean, because I love the guy, but Blake Bortles, it was like Bortles v. Brady, and Bortles was on like such a pedestal at that point. I mean, that defense was insane, the way it had played for a lot of the year.
He's clicking his neck, Ollie. He doesn't
yeah,
like
I know.
You.
I think Ben's going to reach out through the screen and hit
him. I'm glad this is on Zoom now.
No, that's just when you hold a 10-pound helmet on your head for however many years, you can't help but click your neck.
I was very scared by that. I'm not going to lie. When you were doing that, I was regretting this question completely.
Yeah. No, but I mean, honestly, I mean, shoot, I thought we had it. I mean, if you go back, I mean, you still hear people in Jacksonville talk about like Miles Jack wasn't down because there was a fumble that should have been called that he wasn't down, that he should have ran back. There were some questionable calls in that game, and you know, we should have won that game. It was one of those games that, you know, it's you know, you don't want to leave it up to officiating, because obviously, you know, any game can have questionable calls, and you know, everyone's like, oh, it's the Patriots home game, but shoot, I mean, any game can come down to a mixture of calls and whatnot. And I don't think they had gone to the point yet where they were saying let the play run before blowing the, you know not blow the whistle and let the play run. You know, I don't think they had gone to that point yet. So it was one of those things where, you know, they just blew the whistle and that happened to happen. But I remember playing that game thinking, like, we had played them in the preseason. We had joint practices against them in the preseason. I remember being like, this team is not that great. And we've already played them once, and we played them in the preseason, and we just absolutely worked them in the preseason. Mm. And so when we played them in the postseason, it wasn't like it was this big shock, because we'd already played them. Yeah, going into that game, really was not really.
Well, I was just having a look at that. I was just reminding myself of the score, and you guys were ahead by 17-10 at one point, was it? And then they scored twice in the fourth quarter.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You know how it goes.
Well, I'm a Falcons fan, so yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, I do.
You know how it goes.
Damn, man. Yeah. Yeah, that was genuinely... I thought the Jags had won that at one point. Like, I was surprised how New England was stalling so much in that game. And I was like,
they're shutting them down, yeah.
And I was like, we're going to have a Jags, like, Eagles or Vikings... Super Bowl. This is going to be insane. Like Brady gets upended and stuff like that.
Well, the Eagles drives half of the Eagles plays in the Super Bowl were just our plays. I remember watching the Super Bowl the next 2 weeks later and being like, "Cool, so the Eagles just took our whole playbook."
It's called basically a Philly special, not a Jacksonville special.
they obviously did not steal Philly special from us, even though Doug Peterson. Now Jacksonville, maybe he can call Jack special now, but I just remember like their first drive was all our plays. I remember being like, I'm like, what is going on here? So they obviously just went back and combed through, you know, weeks and weeks of Jacksonville tape. You know, it's a copycat league, as we always say, and you know, that's, I remember watching that just being like, cool, so yeah, they did their homework. They know what worked. We obviously knew what worked against them, and and they realized that, so they went back and looked at a lot of our stuff and, you know, put it into their system. They obviously implemented their own stuff. It's not like they copied everything, but that's how the league works though. So
there's no like sense of pride almost in that, a little bit of like, you guys had to rip us off to beat the Patriots, or are you more like, oh, Jesus, we would have won this or something like that kind of thing?
Oh, I mean, no, there's no sense of pride. I mean, we should have beat them when we had our chance. I mean, if we had been on that stage and had the chance, you know, to, or well, we were on the stage and had the chance. Maybe if we had had the chance to beat Philly, you know, would have been a different story. But
well, I think that Jags defense would have slowed down Eagles a lot more in the Super Bowl, so you never know.
Nah, probably not.
I was gonna say.
Don't think so, Ollie.
Nah, never know. Nick Foles was on another level that night. Something special. He had a Midas touch that evening. It was and some helpful officiating as well with a couple of touches.
That Jags D was far better than that Patriots defense as well.
Yeah.
It was by a country mile.
Having played that game, the Patriots defense was not that special that year.
Yeah,
it was discipline, and that's what they do. They're well disciplined, but they were
their assignments. They do their job. The old Bill Belichick saying, of course.
What
do you think of this current Jags team? Then they've got into the playoffs this year somehow. I never thought it would happen. I had a bet with Jazz that they wouldn't get above 500.
No.
Is it six wins?
They wouldn't get five. They'd have five wins or less, is what you said.
Okay, yeah.
So, let's reframe how poorly you thought they'd do.
So they've surprised me massively, and they've finished the season amazingly. I don't think they're much underdogs against the Chargers with the bookies. Where do you see this team? How much have you watched them this year?
So me and Ollie and I actually did some commentating on them versus Denver. And if you had asked me versus that Denver game, if they had a chance of making the playoffs, I would have said no. I would have said there's absolutely no chance that they would have made the playoffs. And they've obviously figured a lot of things out. So, and I talked with Ollie about this, that during that time they lost to Denver. They had just got rid of James Robinson. They had absolutely no identity. They could not throw the ball. They couldn't protect for more than a half second. All they would do is just run with Travis Etienne for, you know, a couple plays, and that was it. Mm-hmm. You know, and then once he was out, it was screen pass, maybe attempt a, you know, mid-range pass, and then it was punt. You know, maybe they would complete something and there'd be a tiny spark, but, you know, they had nothing. And they've actually managed to figure out some things. And their offense looks like a functioning offense, which is nice to see, because I felt like the whole game I was saying, you guys need to figure out something else other than just running with Travis Etienne. I'm like, he's a great player, but I'm like, Kent's run at three plays, and then when he goes out, everyone in the building knows it's either a screen to the backup or, you know, you're just going to try to, you know, throw it to Christian Kirk. So they've managed to put together a great offense, and God, their defense is actually playing solid, really, which is great to see. Their defense is playing very, very well. And it's, you know, given they've, I mean, Tennessee was playing Josh Dobbs, and I love Josh. I played with them, and, but, you know, you know, they're going to be playing Justin Herbert, which I mean, they beat Justin Herbert once, but, you know, I mean, if Mike Williams can't come back, that's going to be a big thing, because his playing has been massively improved with his whole array of weapons. So if he doesn't have his whole array of weapons, it'll be a different story. I feel like it'll even out the field a little bit. I feel like it'll put a lot of pressure, but, I think obviously if you shut down the passing game with them a little bit, I think that gives them a chance, because the Chargers just, in my opinion, just don't have that strong of a run game. I love Austin Eckler. He carried me on fantasy. Don't get me wrong. I love him, but I mean, what do you have, 200 yard games this year? He's not, their defense is strong enough where I don't think he's going to have a 100-yard game. So if they can find a way to, you know, shut down a little bit in that passing game, force them to run the ball, I think they'll have a good shot.
The only reason Mike Williams is out as well is because Brandon Staley had the ludicrous idea last week of keeping starters in right till the very end when you don't have to. And like every NFL fan, let alone every Chargers fan, is looking at that, and because I kind of think the Chargers have a bit of a soft spot with a lot of people anyway. I think they're just quite a likable team. Yeah, there aren't too many people that people go, oh, just don't click with that guy or anything. And a lot of people are looking at the TV and seeing Mike Williams go down. You're like, well, you've just reduced your best receiver core by so much losing him. Like, it's now going to be so much based around Allen. Why on earth? Like, what is driving a coach in that moment in a game that doesn't mean half as much? Like, I understood it with Philadelphia last week. They're playing a third string Giants team, and they played the softest core of NFL that I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was run, maybe throw one. If we don't get a first down, right, just get it away as far away. Yeah. Don't get hurt. Don't, Jalen Hurts, whatever you do, do not run. Don't even do a 2-yard sneak. They did it once, and everybody in the stadium was like, oh, no. So they kind of managed it. And they needed a win to get the bye. You get the bye, everything like that. Chargers weren't playing for a bye. They were just playing maybe for a different seed. You're in the playoffs already. Why on earth would you keep starters in at that point?
I mean, to me, it doesn't make sense, because I'm like, you didn't have, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but they didn't have Keenan Allen last time. I don't think they had Mike Williams last time either. And if they did, I feel like he was limited. So I'm like, I feel like, again, that just doesn't make sense to me. I know the Jags played them and they won, but I'm like, I feel like they're playing with backups, and you're setting yourself up for failure by playing with backups again. So it's not like they don't have backups, but I'm like, you can scheme. And I feel like how many times have, you know, I feel like I've said this before, you know, you can scheme a couple plays here and there, and, you know, you can scheme the first half, a touchdown maybe on the opening drive, and, you know, you script your top 15 for what you think they're going to come out in. You can't scheme a whole game. It's never going to work. So it's like, you can have a ragtag, you know, group of guys, but you're never going to scheme the whole game. It just can't work. You need to have some of those guys healthy like that. And I just, I agree with you. Like, trying to play for a better seed, like, come on,
isn't it just the most Chargers thing to do, though? Like, they don't seem to make great decisions as a coaching squad and as like a organization. And I don't know. Like you said, it's not, if you're playing for a number one seed or what used to be a number two seed as well, where you get a week off, that's a huge prize. Like, you still got to put everything into it and treat it like it's a playoff game, a week 17 or 18 game. But like, yeah, I don't know. It just seems like the Chargers just make bad decisions, and I'm waiting for them to do something in the fourth quarter. If they've got a tight game, there's going to be something, some kind of decision that they make.
some kind of timeout or something. I don't know. They feel fourth, a bit cursed, fourth that
and
organization.
Six at their own 45-yard you know line, what I mean? And they'll be like, oh, let's go for it. We should probably try and get this first down. Yeah, that kind of thing.
There's going to be something. Or they're not going to go for it when they should. I don't know. I just don't trust this coaching team to get it right. I trust Herbert to be good, but I don't know. I don't trust that team. So I think the Jags are going to win. I've got them to winning.
Were they not always going to be the fifth seed?
I can't remember if they were locked in or not. I thought they were.
They can't have been locked in. Surely they wouldn't have played them otherwise. They must have been able to move up.
Were they the early kickoffs or the second block kickoffs last week?
Second block because it was during.
And the Ravens Bengals would have been finished, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they would have known if they were going to be locked in for a seat. They had no reason to play their starters because at that point the Ravens were lost.
Exactly. Well, the Jags played on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's even worse then. It's even worse than we're saying.
What's wrong with them?
I don't know. What if Herbert got injured?
I wouldn't have even played it. I mean, Herbert's finally getting back to full health just now. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but
the Chargers coaching system has been terrible for years. And they've always made bad calls. You think, okay, maybe it was Anthony Lynn, get rid of him. And the head coaches continue to make stupid calls. Mm-hmm. And that's one of them. Sorry for cutting you off there, Ben. But it's just...
Oh, no, you're fine.
It's endemic of the franchise that it just becomes...
I know.
Boneheaded head coaches.
Oh. But the problem in the NFL is these tight ends that can't draw up a backside route for a play inside half a second of being told the coverage in front of them. That's the real problem. Those are the bad decisions that get made, not the ones that have a week of planning ahead of it.
Oh, jeez.
It's the problem. I don't know why they don't address it more.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Unbelievable.
Took them 5 years, but they finally did.
I think I'm just having a look at I just want to bring up the spread on this game. I think it's the closest one on paper. It feels like a coin flip game. One and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Am I the only one picking the Jags on this? Or?
I'm taking the Jags. I really don't want it.
Well, that means it's not going to happen then.
Oh. Okay.
Every time we take the same team, Ben, we always end up losing. So you can nail it on now as a Chargers victory next week.
Damn it.
Nailed on now.
All right, so now I can't take the Jags, okay?
Yeah. No, you can, but just don't put money on them because you're just wasting your money.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not going to put one. Oh, yeah, I guess I can't officially now put money on them. I was going to say I can't put money on them, but I can now, I guess.
Yeah, you can let it ride. You can put it all on, Ben. Don't worry about it.
I'm just so used to not being allowed to bet on NFL. So I'm like, I'm actually allowed now.
Didn't stop Calvin Ridley from doing it. No, getting banned for a year.
Who's a Jaguar now?
Yeah.
So speaking of the betting thing, just quickly on that, I understand why you can't bet on a game you're playing in because you can completely influence the result. But if say you're playing at the 1 PM games and you're betting on Monday Night Football, you've got no way of influencing that game at all, really. So why is it that it's not allowed for you to bet?
But you know the players and stuff around the
league. You could send a message and be like,
so you could do that. That's what they're trying to base it on.
Yeah, there's loads of things that could happen.
But then if you're out the league, you still have the same contact. So therefore, you can still call the same players and say, just drop your first pass. You can still do the same thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Ben, can we go through your phone? See if you've got anybody we could tap up. We are losing on this.
That makes
no
sense.
We're not good at betting. We're not good at this.
I mean, I'm trying to think if I know any guys who are actually in the playoffs who I'd be able to.
We could
say a lot of the guys.
A new segment.
A lot of the guys I know aren't in the playoffs right now. So,
come on, Koyak in the clutch brings through the guaranteed bet every week for us. It'd be great.
I'm sorry, it'd be collusion. I'd be.
But I can understand. I can understand your own team, but again, if you're trying to call someone and trying to interfere with their professionalism, I don't think a player's really going to do that unless it's worth ridiculous amounts of money, considering how much you guys get paid anyway.
Well, also the one thing that, given, I mean, you shouldn't be betting on your game, given, but like also, I think about it in like the Pete Rose and even the Calvin Ridley sense. Like they were betting on their own team to win. It's not like they were betting on them. It's not like they were betting on them to lose. It's like you're betting on your own team. You're just backing yourself. It's not like you're
betting on the Falcons to win is really foolish as well. So
it's way loose money, isn't it?
It's like, if anything, it's like shoot, if I do bad, it's like I'm losing even more money. It's like,
yeah.
Like,
why, it's like, why are you penalizing me for, you know? It's like, if anything, you should just like be like, you have a meeting at, you know, NFL headquarters, and you should just be like, smack across the face, like, don't do that again. It's like, just don't be stupid.
But you have, like, the the problem that could arise as well is, you remember when, was it Ocho Cinco had a mobile phone underneath the pylon pad? You could have the problem where a wide receiver puts his phone underneath the pylon pad, and as he goes in for the touchdown, gets it and presses the first touchdown scorer bet button. And so he gets his first touchdown scorer bet on himself, having just scored the touchdown. They might, because of the delay that you get in gambling, be enough time to do things like that. We can't have that in the NFL.
But that
would be even better. Imagine how much of a big dick energy move it would be to have done that, but have put the money on yourself with the bet already. And you take your phone out, and as you celebrate, you unlock your screen and show the camera the bet on yourself to score first.
The amount of money you lose, I know.
I'm fully aware of that. But
it's getting very elaborate now.
As a bit of swagger, that would be a bit fun.
Look, they're allowing Caesars to sponsor everything. We've got the NFL team obviously in Vegas now with the Raiders. Let's just embrace it. Let's let them bet all they want. I bet the season would be insane.
Go full gambling.
They used to have FanDuel in our stadium, and they'd be like, FanDuel, and we're like, why aren't we getting some of this? I'm like, you guys are blatantly advertising it. I'm like, why are we getting some money from this? Like, this is ridiculous.
What else we got this weekend? Obviously, Jags Chargers is the closest one. Team that you scored your touchdown against, Ben, is taking on the Miami Dolphins, the Bills against the Dolphins. Do you buy that this is going to be like a, you know, it's a divisional game, so it's more difficult and everything? I mean, Miami with Tua was starting to slow down towards the end of the season. Without Tua, it's even worse. I mean, that game against the Jets last weekend,
that was dire.
That was rough. That was rough.
In a must-win game as well.
And the Bills. Exactly. The Bills are in this, like, such a peculiar position with everything that's happened with DeMar Hamlin, but now the positivity coming round with Hamlin, that story is taking such a good twist. And I think a lot of people said going into even last week, like, whatever, like, what happened with Hamlin could be a big impact in a sink or swim for Buffalo. And you imagine with, like, a Sean McDermott character, that's going to probably be a swim. They were always going to use it as a big driving force for the team anyway. There's no chance for Miami in this. They're not. You can't have the Miami Dolphins killing off the story of the year.
See, I mean, this is where, like, as a player, this is where I do bring in divisional opponents, because they've played twice already, and this is literally your third time playing somebody. Given, I do think the Bills are going to run away with it, because I just think the Bills are a far better team. But, you know, when you play someone for a third time, having played them twice already, you know, you already know their system, and you will have already played them twice already the year before that. And, you know, it's just one of those things where players, even if it's for a different coach. So, you know, I played for different head coaches, but, like, I knew the Titan system. I knew the systems of the Texans and the Colts, you know, even with other coaches. So, you know, I'd played them twice a year for years. And if I had played them in the playoffs the third time, like, I could have blocked half the stuff in my sleep. So it's one of those things where it comes down to really creativity. So I still think the Bills are going to win, but I think, you know, like, do I think it'll be a little bit closer than people will expect? Yeah, I do. Like, I don't think it's going
to
be
so as well. It's plus 13. Sorry to interrupt, but just to put that in context, that's a big spread. So
I was literally about to say, I don't think it's going to be a 14-point victory. I would say 13 would be about the max of what I would say. Don't take it for gospel, but, you know, that's what I would, you know, that's about the max I would say. But given obviously Tua is not there, so that obviously helps the Bills out quite a bit.
Is he 100% not playing? Because I've seen reports
that he's cleared to even throw the ball yet.
He's still in concussion protocol. Okay.
He should not.
What's your take on that, Ben? Actually, Is
he,
should he now retire? Because those head injuries were terrible this year.
Yeah, piling up.
I don't know if he should retire. He should not touch the field this year, though.
Oh, 100% that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, when you have two concussions in a year, I mean, it's, you should at least take, you know, two, three, 4 weeks off, you know, and then this is number three. You know, they said like, oh, this is a second. It's like, no, well, everyone knows it's his third. His first one, they called it a neck injury, which, and in case you're, you know, if you're not in the NFL, when someone on the injury report shows up with a neck injury, especially a quarterback, it's not a neck injury. It's a concussion. That's their way of getting around concussion protocol. So a neck injury equals a concussion. But yeah, so this is a concussion number three for him. He should not be on the field at all in any capacity for, you know, 100. He shouldn't be doing OTAs. He shouldn't be doing anything. Maybe he can watch it. He should be maybe watching OTAs, you know, maybe watch some film. He shouldn't be doing anything on the field until maybe
training
practice
camp?
And training camp. That's when, if that were me, like as a head coach, I'd be like, see what the doctors say in training camp. Like, but like Luke Kuechly was, you know, your example of a guy who had so many head injuries and he retired at 28 and, you know, guys were begging him to retire because he was getting concussions. He was getting two concussions a year for every year he was in the league.
Yeah, but just play with reckless abandon. I mean, that's why I made such a great linebacker. But I mean, yeah, the toll on you, the body, of course, eventually catch up to you. But the brain is one that it can happen, and if that happens the wrong way, it's you don't know when it's going to hit you.
But if you're Tua, that idea of not playing until training camp, like, look at, you know, only took half an opportunity for Geno Smith to step in, and everybody thought he was done, and he steps in and becomes a bit of a baller this season with the Seattle Seahawks. Like, if you're Tua Tagovailoa, you do not want to be stepping away from Mike McDaniel's offense for any amount of time, because A, he seems like he's building an offense a bit like the Niners, which you can plug in a lot of different quarterbacks and be successful in because of the weapons that you've got, and B, he's a brand new head coach who's like, well, fine, if I have to use Tua, I'll use Tua, but if I've got a reason to maybe bring in somebody that I would rather have, that's the golden opportunity for him. If Tua is suddenly sitting out and there's this, like, the player isn't going to want to sit out for that long at all, are they?
And to tack on to that, just to, before we get your answer to that, Ben, is that also coming out of college, Tua had the big hip injury, and so the injury-prone tag comes into it. Of course, not saying that injury-prone comes into head injuries, but it also comes down to missed time and missed games and,
well, look
and things
at Lamar.
Like that. So would that, yeah, and would that play into the coaches and the GM's thoughts too?
I mean, I think so. I mean, I'm not sure when is it this year or next year he's probably up for whether or not he's going to get his tender.
Year they'll pick up the
next
fifth.
Next year they
can
pick up the fifth or not, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure we'll know by next year whether or not they're going to pick up that tender or not. But yeah, I mean, it'll definitely go into consideration. But I think whether or not he's actually able to play will obviously be a big factor. But I understand, yeah, he's not going to want to sit out. No guy wants to sit out and have the opportunity for someone to replace him. But, you know, he did put on a show, you know, make leaps and bounds of improvements. And, you know, I think he just has to trust that. But at the end of the day, if you can't function, and you can't talk at age 35 or 40, you know, what's the point?
Yeah.
So I think if I could replace at age 40, you know, age 25, and I have to work again to find another spot, so be it. And, you know, I'll take the money and run, and, you know, maybe that's my time and that's it. But, you know, he was a first round draft pick. He'll be good. And he, even because of that, he'll still get a ton of opportunities and get a ton of looks. So it's not like he's not going to be able to find a spot. So,
even as a backup, he could be a backup for a couple of years and do a Geno Smith and then come back and maybe light the league on fire for all we know.
Yeah. Well, I think he's done enough this year, like you touched on, to get the starting job next year. I don't think anybody will really be talking about, no matter what happens this weekend, I don't think they'll be talking in the off season. Unless he makes the decision himself.
I would definitely imagine Miami quarterback conversations this offseason.
Without question.
Yeah, but there'll be conversations, but I think he'll be the starter next year.
But maybe they draft someone. Maybe in the second round they pick up one and they say, maybe it's competition for you.
Awesome. I would actually expect them to probably, if I had to guess, I would expect them to bring in like a more reliable veteran than drafting a guy.
Like a Geno Smith.
Yeah, well, with him being such such a young guy, like I would think they would bring in a guy who's on, you know, guy who's on the cusp of, you know, being old. Not Colt McCoy, but like that kind of, maybe that kind of age.
Brissett or
like a Ryan Fitzpatrick before he retired, that sort of
thing. Yeah, exactly. Like some guy who's like still talented enough where he can get the job done, but you know he's not going to be there for 5 or 10 years.
Yeah,
he's going to be there.
Leave Matt alone.
Poor Matt Ryan.
Leave Matt alone.
This year.
He's been done dirty. That's not fair.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah. That's been terrible.
I was trying to explain to George Egator last week, I think it was, where I was like, you can't have a go at Matt Ryan at this point for this season when every quarterback you've put in has been beaten, battered, and bruised. Like, you left Nick Foles in a heap on the floor. Yeah. It's an offensive line problem, not a quarterback problem in Indianapolis.
Which is shocking. Because going into the year, the offensive line was one of the strengths, and seen as a case of Ryan might have the best O-line he's had for years, and then it turned out to be as porous as Swiss cheese.
Not the case, yeah.
Jeff Saturday should have come back and played center, not head coach.
It might help.
It doesn't help when you haven't got any wide receivers to throw to, and then you have to stay in the pocket for 4 seconds
So I was thinking in the shower the other day, I was dangerous things to think in the shower.
Yeah, this is a good start.
All right, Jazz.
keep a PG, please.
Yeah, well, don't worry. But I was thinking
get ready
about
to shut his microphone off, Ollie.
The draft season we had last year, and we spoke about the Bengals pick and how they were saying it's going to be between Penei Sewell and Jamar Chase, and all the memes came out about if you get Chase, you're going to see Burrow in a heap on the floor. If you take Sewell, you see him throw the ball to Boyd or Higgins. Two years ago. What I think that choice of Jamar Chase proved was if you don't have the best offensive line, if you've got a ridiculous offensive weapon like a Jamar Chase who can take a slant and beat the blitz because you're going to get it out within a second and take it for 60-70 yards, that may be more valuable than the kind of all-star left tackle to begin with, because some of the tackles we see, and we've seen plenty of them throughout the years, completely bust. Of course, we've seen wide receivers bust as well, but
not as frequently recently. Wide receivers coming out of college, like a lot have popped well enough
quickly
to be established in the NFL within the first half of season and stuff.
Yep. Yeah. And so that's why, as we're just talking about that in terms of offensive lines and wide receivers, it kind of fits with that. Maybe if Ryan had even one better receiver than just Michael Pittman, maybe that would have allowed them to kind of scheme out ways of getting the ball out far more effectively and quicker, so he wouldn't have to worry about having 3 or 4 seconds to stand there and, well, get beaten up before he passes.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. I mean, you lose a lot of your playmakers. So, I mean, they have a good offensive line, but like you said, it's like, cool, you have Michael Pittman. And then, you know, you have Mo'Ali Cox, but I mean, he's not lighting the world on fire, you know, from a tight end standpoint. So, mm-hmm. I mean, everyone hones in on, you know, maybe two guys. You know, you don't have T.Y. Hilton anymore. What do you do? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, a lot of it, I think, is just scheme based, because it's not like you don't have a talented offensive line. You have an extremely talented offensive line, but no offensive line, doesn't matter who they are, like, they're not going to be able to block, sit down and block for, you know, 10 seconds, especially shoot, half the stuff the Colts do is quick game. And then, you know, you're sitting there having them block quick game and then they're patting the ball in the pocket. It's like, you're not going to get 3 seconds out of a quick game. Sorry. Yeah. It's never going to happen. So.
Yeah. And the run game suffered from that as well. And Jonathan Taylor's injuries, but without a reliable sort of aerial attack, they just put everyone in the box said, "Oh, just come on, run at us then. Who are you going to beat us with?"
Yeah, that's essentially that's the same problem the Texans have, obviously, because everyone knows run up first and second, and then have to try to
and
pass.
I hope you throw to Robert Woods, and if he's covered, which he probably will be these days, good luck.
That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
He got done so dirty going to that team thinking AJ Brown was going to be there and he was going to be the number two to a really good number one, and then he gets sold down the river.
Big time.
Can you imagine, the Texans having nefarious, shady practices around that franchise? Who would have thought in this modern era in the NFL? Jeez. There's a couple more divisional games coming up in the playoffs as well this weekend. I'm not that hyped about the Ravens against the Bengals because it doesn't look like Lamar Jackson is going to be back in time for the Ravens. The Bengals, even with Lamar, I think are heavy favorites anyway. But the Lamar thing, we touched on it a second ago and spoke about it last week a little bit. Has he kind of screwed himself a little bit, Lamar Jackson, with the contract negotiations. It's another unhealthy season.
He's taken a big risk on himself
when
and
he's
it might not pay off now.
Down big money because he wanted the biggest bag of all. Great athlete, obviously, but the injury problem is going to stick out when people are offering him deals.
I mean, I've never been a fan of the whole, like, I have to be paid the absolute most, especially when his numbers just haven't been
They're not good paid. Enough.
I mean, don't get me wrong, he's an elite athlete and, you know, like in a lot of regards, but, you know, he's not always going to be. And, you know, as he's aged, and it's not like he's old by any means. He's probably, what, only 26, maybe 27 by now, at the oldest. But, you know, he started, those injuries are starting to catch up to him to a point where it's affecting his team's play. You know, they can't win without him. You know, they lost like 5 or 6 straight when they had a chance to just clinch the division.
It just looks so boring as well. They've got no juice.
Oh, they look terrible.
No juice.
Yeah.
I mean, watching a Ravens game is just miserable without him at quarter. Without him at quarterback, they just can't get the ball done. Anything done with the ball. So, I mean. Gosh, I mean, their defense hasn't done much better, to be honest. Which is
addition of
Roquan
Smith made a big difference. In fairness to that, they were terrible the start of the year, but Roquan Smith definitely galvanized it. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Terrible to like passable
to average
isn't a
it's
playoff.
Not like the Ravens' defense of the Ray Lewis and the Ed Reeds and the Lotion Artists. It's not that sort of defense.
When
but
you've got
that doesn't come along very often. That level of
but play. If you've got a bad offense and then a passable defense, a Bengals team in the playoffs. Like, it doesn't really matter about a divisional game like that.
Yeah.
Especially when I've just seen it a week prior.
I can't see it. The only thing I can say is that the Bengals, like, have struggled a little bit. Like, last week, they struggled a little bit, like, closing that game out and stuff. I could have. Could I see it being, like, within 2 scores in the fourth? I don't know. It just doesn't feel that way, does it? Their field goal offense against this juggernaut in the
Quick
Bengals.
Score,
so.
Or long drive, they can do it all. Yeah.
Bengals are going to have that chip as well because of they feel aggrieved by the whole coin toss thing, neutral venue. They wanted a chance to maybe have that opportunity to play.
Oh, you saw that mix and celebration.
The mix and celebration was pretty awesome, pulling the coin out of the sock and then flipping the coin and kicking it away. That was awesome. But yeah, the Bengals, I think, will have that little, you know, not only, oh, we lost the Super Bowl last year, but then it'll be like, oh, look, we didn't even get to play out the season how we wanted to and everything like that. In the same way the Bills will use it, I think the Bengals will try and use what happened on that Monday Night Football as well for a light psychological advantage going into the playoffs too.
Yeah, no doubt. And like I said, with divisional opponents, it's especially in back-to-back weeks, going to have to pull out some wrinkles, but I don't see there, especially the only way they win this one is if they just completely pull out something brand new that the Bengals haven't seen and have lots of it and then just run the ball a lot because clearly passing the ball is not working for them.
Ben, when you went to the AFC Championship game, what was the, you know, we always hear about things like pound the rock and stuff like that from John Gruden with the Bucks on their Super Bowl winning season. And after the season finished, we all heard about how he bought a huge piece of granite and it was like, we just chip away at this piece of granite, we pound the rock until we get it to what we want it to be. What was like the team motto that Gus Bradley had going into like that season with the AFC Championship game? And have you been involved in, because we've speculated that there are loads of these kind of like things that coaches do, like burying a football on the first day of practice and saying that's last season, now we're going to stomp on the ground, and it's like stomp the ground becomes the motto or something like that. Have you been in any teams where you as a player have basically done what Jazz has done when you've heard a coach trying to do like the inspiring thing? You're like, dude, this one doesn't really work very well. This isn't giving us the chip on the shoulder that we need to have the edge or anything.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. I mean, that was Doug at that point. And I feel like, I don't feel like he really, I can't even remember, to be honest, what his thing was, like, I feel like it might have been like, oh, like, just one, like, it just take it like one game at a time. But like, I don't know, like, I feel like there's sometimes when, you know, they're heartfelt, and sometimes when things are like, I don't know how to describe it, like, you know, just like brief and short, and, you know, like, that's their style. But like, I've 100% had coaches, you know, do the whole like, yeah, like, we do this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, God, just shut up.
Like, you know, I'd vomit my mouth.
Yeah, like, God, like, I don't believe a word you're saying. It's more, honestly, it's more players than coaches. Like, okay. A lot of players should be like, this is my, like, this is for us. I'm like, dude, just shut up. Like, come on. Like, I know you're doing this because you're one, either mic'd up or there's a camera behind us. Like, we're all trying to, like, let's just, that's why whenever it was me, I was like, let's just do this shit and let's just, you know, get it done. Like, I just find a super brief way of, like, bringing us all together, and I wouldn't try to, like, put any theatrics behind it.
Fair.
Yeah. Like, I feel like Sadie's always had, like, a good way of just super brief and doing that. And I felt like that was, like, a way of, I always carried it, because I was, like, super brief. Don't try to, like, bring any theatrics into it. You know, bring us together as a unit. That's okay. Cool.
You never had like a I was gonna say, you never had like a high school or a college coach like bring in a wagon and be like, we're dragging this wagon all the way to the playoffs or something, you know, those kind of like, because there's so many over dramatized ones where they make a big like show and dance of it. That's all. Yeah, I was just wondering.
I had a defensive coach in college who used to like scream his head off, and he had a motto, but I mean, him being a defensive coach, I cannot remember what it was. But he like, and the thing was, if you saw him, he like was the nicest, like most like smiley, like kindest person, but when he used to coach, he would scream his head off. And I just cannot remember what his motto was, even though we had an OC in college who was one of my absolute favorite coaches of all time. The dude used to yell more than anybody. But the thing was, like, he would yell, like, he would mother F you, like, if you got something wrong. But, like it'd be like, oh, like, if I ran a crappy route or if I dropped a pass, it'd be like, clack, 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 like, all up in my face. Like, beat red, like, whole entire practice. But then if I like ran a good route, like he'd be like, good job. And just be like, absolutely like pushing me, like saying like, great job. Like, you know, like all up it, like all up in my face, telling me how good it is. So it's like, I respect it. I'm like, the dude's authentic. Like,
that's who you are. Yeah.
I'm like, that's the guy I respect. Like, I don't respect, like, I was like, I'm like, when these coaches would come along, you know, like they put on the show for like, they know the team cameras or something are around. I'm like, oh, like, and then they try to show like the highlight video the next week of like them giving the speech. I'm like, that's not motivating. but I'm like, I always respected that OC I had in college, because I'm like, that guy was real. I'm like, it didn't matter if it was good or bad. That guy was in your corner, like. And he would tell you how it was, like he was screaming at you whether it was good or bad, and he was in that corner with you. Nice. And you know, I was respecting that.
Fair. No, sorry, yeah, it just popped in my head because of the like chip on shoulder type thing. It's, oh, yeah. There's always, everybody's always trying to find a way to have that mental edge, particularly going into the playoffs. The Niners probably don't need any sort of chip on their shoulder because they're the best team in the NFC at the moment right now. They are they're unstoppable.
Even with a third stringer.
Yeah.
Could you guys see that game getting close? Like if the Niners don't come out firing on all cylinders. I know Purdy's started, you know, his career really, really well, but he's a rookie. Like, we're forgetting because he's had, you know, 3-4 games of really, really good football. He's a rookie. He's going to be in front of the lights. He's going to be playing against experienced Seahawks team. Like, I don't know. Doesn't it feel like he's due a game where he doesn't do well? And this could be it.
I mean, I would definitely argue that the Seahawks are going to 100% try to throw the kitchen sink at him to, you know, get him off his mark. But I would also argue that the 49ers offense is better built for him than it was for Jimmy G. Even though I think arguably Trey Lance, but it's one of those things where that's where I think it'll work in his favor. where it's like, yeah, they might come out with some funky looks, but I think the offense will naturally take care of that, because the offense that San Fran runs just naturally has two or three built-ins for everything. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of those benefits of him being a third stringer, being able to watch a lot of that stuff, is that he gets to see all that. And they might come in and disguise coverages, disguise blitzes, but it's like, cool, I have this check down, X check down, you know, like whatever. Like he'll be able to check it down. There are, you know, they'll probably bring back some of the triple option read stuff, because it's not like he's not mobile enough to run some of it. So I wouldn't be surprised if they bring back some of the stuff we haven't even seen in a few weeks.
And your three check downs are George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk. Like,
I mean, Debo.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even if he's not 100%,
what I'm saying is that if Purdy would kind of need to have a meltdown back there and really start taking a lot of hits, because like you just mentioned, like four pressure release valves for him, and they're all going to be viable on any play, basically. So he would have to have a really bad game, I think, for the Seahawks to struggle. The Seahawks to get into it. I don't know. Yeah. There's nine and a half. I could see that
getting done by the Niners. I think this is going to be a big Niners show.
You reckon?
Yeah.
See, it's the playoffs, though, and it's a divisional game. And quite often we go into the wild card round. I mean, there's a few games that could potentially be blowouts or could be big upsets, but there's not very many that are always more than a field goal or a touchdown. They tend to be closer than they think they're going to be, because it's not a team that shouldn't be. Well, you can argue about whether the Buccaneers should be there or...
Well, the Eagles last year against the Bucs.
Or the Dolphins,
I mean, that was a travesty. That was such a boring game of just a huge blowout. So it can happen. I just think it's not very common. Yeah.
And also, that Eagles team should have been nowhere near the playoffs.
Yeah, that definitely.
Plus, does. I know that Ollie's coming from a point of view that he's terrified of the Niners.
So
I mean, I would be too. If I was any team going into playoffs now on either side, the team I would want to play the least is the 49ers.
I want them out as quickly as possible.
I mean, they scheme incredibly well. I mean, the same staff is still there that was there when I was playing, and God, they just absolutely picked us apart. And we were a good team, and they picked us apart. They knew exactly how to do it. So, they scheme very well. And like you said, it's a divisional opponent. Anything can happen. I won't rule it out, just like you said. I've said it multiple times already.
Yeah.
I mean, like with divisional opponents, I feel like those wrinkles are there. And it's not like Seattle doesn't have playmakers on both sides of the ball either. They definitely do. So
is Lockett playing? Is he healthy?
Yeah, he had a big catch last week too.
DK's healthy too.
They got DK and Lockett. There's always a chance that they could put up 30 as well, and then it's going to get tight.
Running backs are playing really well.
Yeah,
it could be an offensive. I mean, it's being played in San Fran, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah.
Could be a good offensive game.
It's a good defense as well. I mean, you can talk about the Niners' offense and scoring up points.
San Fran's number one, dude.
Yeah, that is an exceptional defense this year, and it's only seemed to get tighter and tighter as kind of the year has gone on, except for that Raiders game. And if anybody can find out and do maybe what the Eagles did with the Jags and replicate that, like let's go and put Josh Jacobs in. Yeah.
Is there an argument to say that the Seahawks are going to be playing looser because the Niners
have less
are...
to lose.
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't even be there, really.
I wouldn't go that far.
They're a better team than a lot of the NFC. They're probably one of the few wild cards that deserve it, in fairness.
I think they're better than the Cowboys, to be honest.
I wanted the Lions in, so maybe I'm being a bit biased.
I also would have wanted the Lions to play that game, personally.
I think they did so good for not
letting the Packers in. That was one of the best things of last week, the Packers losing. Nothing better than after this year when the Packers fans were all like, oh, London's our city, look, we're finally coming out. They got shut down in London, then they get shut down on Sunday Night Football and lose out. That was great. I love that.
Yeah, it's nice having a Packers-free playoffs. I'm fine with it.
No Aaron Rodgers to worry about. He's retiring. He did his walk-off with Cobb. He's gone. It's over. We can get rid of the Rodgers number 12 fiasco now. It's over.
I'm just I feel like I'm just tired of the whole drama, the whole drama behind everything. I mean, God, you want to talk about player thoughts. I'm like, as a player, you know, they're like, oh yeah, he motivates these guys. I'm like, these guys weren't motivated. Like, in my opinion, I'm like, these receivers, they didn't rise to the occasion because Aaron Rodgers motivated. I'm like, they rose to the occasion in spite of him. Like, if that's me, like, you know, Christian Watson's like, yeah, you talked all this crap essentially about me. And like, now I'm doing great despite you talking all this crap about me. And not like you being like, yeah, I'm doing great now. Yay, I love you so much, Aaron Rodgers. And like, that's like, if that's me, like, if my quarterback just saying like, yeah, like Ben Koyak's paying like crap, like blah, 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 like he should get less reps. You know, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I want to cozy up to him and just do better for him. I'm like, no, I'm just going to like, you know, F this dude. I'm going to go do better. Yeah. And then when I do better, I'm not going to be like, oh, do you like me now? I'm going to be like, no, like, you know, like, go have fun. See you. Like, yeah. And I feel like that's how you lose a locker room is like, and I feel like this is such an unwritten rule in a team. Like, you just don't do that. And if you do, don't go doing it to the media. That's such an unwritten rule that you're breaking.
Especially for 45 minutes on one of the most popular shows on streaming platforms.
The fact that we're talking about, like the fact that like anybody can be talking about it, like it shouldn't have ever left the locker room. Like, if you have that problem, go to the receiver room and talk to the receivers. Go to the tight ends room, talk to the receivers. Have a closed door meeting. We had closed door meetings all the time without coaches, and we would put towels over the mics and over the cameras in the team meeting rooms so that they couldn't hear.
Fight Club?
Oh, wicked.
Oh, you couldn't say anyway because what number one and two rules are. Sorry.
You don't say anything about
that. Yeah.
What's the number wing. No, but yeah, like if we had grievances or stuff like that, we'd have player only meetings. And you know, like in a team room, there are like side cameras and then there's a main camera, and we'd go in there, put towels over there, put a towel over the big boom mic because they record meetings and stuff like that. So they couldn't hear it. I'm like, if you have that big of a problem with something, don't go on ESPN and air it out, you know? Mm. Like, go air it out with the team. And that's just bad. And that's why I'm like, everyone's like, oh, we thought we'd see vintage, you know, Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, I'm glad you did it, because I'm like, you didn't deserve it. Like, if you had done things the right way, I'd be rooting for you. Like, I lost a lot of respect when I heard him doing that. I'm like, that's just, I lost respect for that.
I'm really cynical about Aaron Rodgers in that last game saying that he wouldn't give up his shirt. And I literally think that he only did that not because he may actually be leaving this year. Who knows, right? But I think he did that so that people would be talking all off season about him and whether he's staying in Green Bay or not. I genuinely think he did it because of that. I'm so cynical about him now. It's like, you can't trust his motivations are.
Yeah. He's enjoying the attention. He loves having his little hour chat and everything. It's gone from being like a nice insight into the NFL to like the Aaron Rodgers bitching hour. And screw that
guy. The bitching hour, the opposite of the witching hour, Scott Hansen talks about every week.
7 hours of uninterrupted Aaron Rodgers
bitching about his teammates. Friends become foes and foes become friends.
I don't understand why he turned evil villain. I mean, he had the backing of every players and everyone else. Like, I don't understand why he decided to, you know, try and find enemies. Guys, he was super well respected by everybody, and I feel like he lost a lot of respect from doing stuff like that and stuff even before that.
Yeah. It's like Elon Musk buying Twitter and then his popularity just falls off a cliff. It's like, stick to making cars. People liked you. You're fine.
Yeah. We'll stick to buying the maker of the cars and then saying you make them.
There you go. Not popular with Ben.
We're taking down everybody on this podcast, apparently. Aaron Rodgers, Elon Musk. Who's next?
My blue check will be removed by tomorrow.
Or just pay $8 for it instead.
Yeah,
you now have to pay for it.
Right, which other games?
I was going to say, Ben, if you need to get off, by the way, feel free. I know you're like family and all that kind of stuff, and you probably don't want to spend much
more. Wifey already came down.
Oh, so. Okay. All right. Okay. It's all good. Send our regards to Henny. I'm still waiting for that free golf lesson, by the way, Ben. So, you know.
Her back might be messed up, but she can hook you up with a friend of hers. So.
I mean, anything to improve my game. Me and Jazz and I play in a competition.
He needs
every
a putting year, so. Putting lesson.
Yeah, definitely need some putting help.
She can help you with putting. That's about as far as I'll let it go.
All right. Okay. That may,
Not trying to have her immobile, or else she'll be like crutching around the house or something.
Well, it doesn't look good on Sky Sports either if she's just on there on crutches, and then they're asking her how to do stuff on the simulator in the studio. It's not a great look.
I told her she's not allowed to do it on the simulator. She couldn't even like move like for a week the last time she did it on the simulator.
Jeez, what's wrong with her back?
It's like a herniated disc, I think.
Oh, that's not good.
Rough.
That's why she's not playing.
Yeah.
Well, look, I hope she gets well as quickly as possible, man, in all seriousness. And, you know, load her up on the codeine and we'll get down the putting green. It'll be fine. let's quickly talk about the other games coming up this week in the playoffs then. We've got the Giants against the Vikings, which the Vikings only win close games, and...
But Kirk Cousins loses in prime time.
Kirk Cousins loses in prime time, yeah. And the Giants are the Giants.
Uh-oh.
Daniel Jones isn't a playoff quarterback, but Saquon Barkley is a great running back.
Maybe he is.
I don't know.
They were playing their best football towards the end, the Giants. They were doing some
They had a week
they
rested.
They also won some close games as well.
They had a week rested.
They're real Jekyll and Hyde for me.
They are really, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, man. So if their offensive line actually can block long enough for Daniel Jones to throw the ball, you know, like they might have a chance. But like if they play, it was one of the first time they put, maybe it was when they play the Commanders, like where it was just like sack backs where they were just going back and forth and neither one of them could just do anything. I'm like, okay, I'm like, this is just dumb to even watch this game.
It's just bad football going from end to end of the field. Yeah.
Wasn't that a Monday night football game as well?
Yeah, it was.
Prime time game on Sunday.
It might have been. It was just. I was just like, "This is stupid. This is just a dumb game. Like, this is not fun to watch." Like, but like you said, Saquon's actually back. That's you know, he might not have all the pressure on him. So it's good to see Saquon actually carrying, you know, a good workload. So, yeah. And
is Dalvin Cook back? Like, another one. Let's play Dalvin Cook on the last weekend of the season.
Yeah, he got injured the last game, didn't he?
Got injured last weekend with a knee injury.
Their backup's reasonable, though, isn't he?
Madison's pretty solid, though.
But he's like the Huntley to Lamar. Like, he's the same kind of guy, but he's just not as good. He's not that X factor.
He's solid, but he's not gonna get you the 75-yard screen touchdown pass. Yeah. But you know, he's still solid. You know,
yeah.
He'll put up decent numbers.
He'll punch one in for sure. But
yeah.
It suddenly means more pressure on Justin Jefferson, who in big moments this year and towards the end of the season hasn't come up as big as some people were hoping and expecting. Like, corners are starting to shut him down.
Yeah.
I mean, the good news for them is that that's in Minnesota, so that's going to be an indoor game for them. Mm. If that was outdoors, I would say that's going to be more of a toss-up. But being indoors, I feel like that's going to definitely play to Kirk's advantage, because I think that's going to be a 40-plus throw game. I feel like they're going to try to, you know, if that's close at all, I think they're just going to keep throwing to Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
You know, keep being Adam Thielen. And then with the KJ Osborne, who's emerged and, you know, just going crazy out of nowhere. Mm-hmm.
And you've got Hockenson there as well. Like,
he hasn't done as much as I thought he was going to do, though.
No, but he hasn't been asked to do that much either. They don't actually throw to him very often. But when he's used, I think he's used quite well.
Yeah. I think that has to do with the emergence of KJ Osborne.
Okay.
Yeah, because before it was when Justin Jefferson was hurt. What game was that Justin Jefferson got hurt and then Adam Thielen was just like non-existent? They were only using TJ Hockenson. The only people they could use was TJ Hockenson and KJ Osborne. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, and I think once they realized KJ Osborne's like, oh wow, well, he's actually pretty solid. We can rely on him because he had like 15 catches that game. So, and I think after that, you know, they got back into the swing of things. And I think they kind of just were like, okay, yeah, well, we can just use TJ Hawkinson situationally again, which I'm sure he's not happy about because he was getting like 8 catches a game before that.
Yeah.
But yeah, either way, I feel like passing wise, you know, they're solid, but I think run game, I think that's where they're going to be forced to throw the ball. So I think it's going to be interesting because I think New York has kind of a soft secondary.
Mm.
Yeah. Not as soft as the Vikings, though, I think.
But you're not worried about a Giants receiver core beating you, are you?
I'm not worried about
playing eight in the box every single time, surely.
I'd say the Vikings seem to flatter their opponents, though, offensively. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants have rarely scored over like 25 this season, but I could see them getting good numbers against.
If it turns into a horrible, like, gritty game, I could see the Giants pulling through. If it gets a bit like air out, open up, then that's the way that the Vikings can kind of storm past them.
Yeah,
I completely agree.
Where do you sit on Kirk? Just not to open up the kind of worms that is Jazz's opinion on Kirk Cousins, but where do you sit?
I've kind of given you a hint of already.
Kirk.
Does the bling get you fired up more than the Aaron Rodgers belittling? Is that?
Oh, that made me sick.
that didn't make me sick because, I mean, that's a team thing. And I think that's him opening up for the team. And I think, like, I don't think he was the one who's, like, sharing it. Everyone else was the one sharing it. He's not the one putting it out there for everyone to see. That's everyone else putting it out to be like, this is Kirk. If anything else, it's like him being like, yes, like, he probably semi-embraced it to be like, hey, like, yeah, like, whatever. Mm. Like, I enjoyed the team aspect of it and whatever. And they obviously stopped doing it after they lost, like, a bunch of games.
Feels a bit like the Giants yacht celebration picture. The one where we got on that and then they had no wins for, like, 3 years. It kind of feels like if they lose first week of the playoffs, everyone's going to look back and, everything went wrong after that happened.
Isn't this the first Giants playoff appearance since the yacht picture this year?
It is, yeah.
It would be, yeah.
I don't think there's anyone left. Is there anyone from that yacht picture?
Nope, I'm pretty sure they're all gone.
No, Odell's still trying to get back, but yeah. Pick a team, bro. Don't just court everybody. Odell Beckham is like in Silicon Valley when they've got the really good idea and then all the investors start sending loads of gifts to the house and they just keep taking all the gifts and not actually deciding who they're going to go with. That's all OBJ's done all year.
He's not healthy. He went to be like, yeah, like, I'm ready to play, and he worked out. He's not ready to play. Yeah. So, I mean,
there's a reason it didn't happen. Yeah.
No team's going to sign you. Like, that's why T.Y. Hilton got signed and he didn't. Mm. It's like he's not physically ready. He'll get signed next year, I'm sure, but he's not ready to play yet.
Let's not talk about T.Y. Hilton.
Let's go back to Kirk Cousins' opinion.
Let's go back to Kirk Cousins.
Do you think he's worth the money he's paid?
I mean, it's a hard question to answer because it'd be hard for anyone else to not put up pretty crazy numbers with this offense. Mm-hmm. Would I like to see him turn the ball over less based on the weapons he has? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would like him to not, you know, fumble the ball as much as he's fumbled it. I'd like him to not throw as many interceptions. I mean, a lot of times he's just blindly heaving it up there, knowing Justin Jefferson has like a 46-inch vertical and it's going to come down.
Speaking my language, Ben. I like it.
So, I mean, on one hand, yeah, they paid him some insane money. But he's played well. And, you know, they're asking him to throw the ball 50 times a game. So, I mean, when you're putting up 400, the thing I would just say is, like, you got to get the INTs down. You got to get that down. You got to get a little bit more accurate. Because I've seen him with a clean pocket still overthrowing receivers. And, dude, you play in the dome. You don't really have an excuse.
There's no issue with wind. Yeah, completely.
Yeah, I mean, it was one thing in the elements, but like when you're playing at home in a dome,
there's no excuse. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you probably guessed from my little comments here and there, my opinion of Kirk Cousins is not very good. I'm sure he's a great dude. I think for me, teammates talk about him, he seems like a really good guy. I mean, you see him on Sky Sports, he seems that way too. But I think given the amount he got paid and the hype that was surrounding him when he went to the Vikings, and I mean, I keep bringing it back to this. Case Keenum led that same team to the NFC Championship game, and Kirk Cousins didn't really do a great deal at all with them the year after. It was pretty much the same team. So I feel like his contract may have hamstrung the team a bit more than they are letting on, is my feeling.
What I'd say, though, about the contract, Jazz, is that when they signed him, I think he was on a 3-year contract, and then it's been 2 years twice after that, or once after that. So, like, it's not like they've gone out and given him a 5-year crazy contract. They've paid more to make it a shorter contract, which kind of makes sense because they're still like, well, he's not like this crazy franchise guy that we're going to give a Patrick Mahomes contract to. So I think it kind of does make sense.
He's worth keeping around than and he's risking.
But is he the answer? Is he the answer?
I mean, do you think someone else right now, after someone else would be doing better if they had signed someone else in that particular year?
I would have to go back and check to see who else is available that particular year, if I'm deadly honest. I'm sure Geno Smith was probably available.
He's sneaky been there a while, hasn't he? He's been there like 5 years.
Geno Smith would not have done better back then.
Well,
Geno Smith was still starting back then, and he would not have done better. Probably.
There's a certain level. I'm sure there's a certain level of cognitive dissonance in my feelings.
Oh, although really?
I'll admit it to Dave and Ollie ever, but to someone with your knowledge and experience, I'll listen to your opinion and probably take it on board.
I will tell you, there's a reason why he's getting paid what he's paid,
and that is.
So I mean, the NFL PA is trying to get NFL players guaranteed money.
He was the first one, wasn't he?
Yeah. Like the MLB and the NBA. And so that's why his contract, while it's 5 years, isn't, you know, insane. While it is obviously good money, it's not like it's like pedestrian money. It's obviously high tier money, but you know, it's good money, but it's fully guaranteed. And they wanted him to be the first one, and they told every other quarterback to be like, we're working to do this. Don't sign a deal until after we get this. It might be slightly less, but, you know, hold out until you can get guaranteed money. And then they got his deal done. And then I think it was Russell Wilson immediately signed with the Seahawks like 2 days later for some ridiculous sum, but none of it was guaranteed. And like, obviously, of course.
Well, they knew what they were dealing with. They obviously knew Russell Wilson.
But there's your example. I mean, do you think Russell Wilson would be doing better in Minnesota right now than Kirk Cousins with that contract?
Well, if you had Russell Wilson from the Seahawks, who
you
like,
don't
you
get Pete Carroll with that contract as well.
I don't think Russell Wilson in any age would be doing better with that contract.
Well, okay.
Do you think Hackett's been screwed just on that one before we get to the last game? Because you worked with him, obviously, and we discussed it a little bit during the Denver Jags game, how, you know, you said he was a really good adjuster as a coach and could make like adjustments during games and stuff. Do you think Hackett has been screwed by Wilson's ineptitude rather than Wilson being screwed by his coaching staff?
Yeah, and you want to talk about being hamstrung. He's hamstrung. And I think the reason why he even had some success in this last game was because they just stripped down everything and took it down to super duper basics and used Latavius Murray and ran the ball. And then just used checkdowns and just either check down or just let him throw it deep. And then he had like one play where he rolled out of the pocket and did what he does best is just launch it deep from rolling. So it's like, that's what he does. And that's what you get with him as a quarterback. But yeah, I think, when you pick someone like Nate, you know, you get an offensive package, you get a certain play type. And it's not like a guy who coached a quarterback who was overlooked by everybody and then helped him develop into a quarterback to take him to the AFC Championship. And then, you know, coached a quarterback to a 2-time MVP. And then suddenly, you know, finally gets his own reins and then has like a number 2 defense in the league. And then but you know, forgets everything he knows about offense. It's like that doesn't happen. So I mean, I feel like everyone's heard the reports that he was literally barking out audibles from Seattle when he heard like reports that he was like saying like the completely wrong audibles. And I'm like, I know Nate's system. I'm like, it's not that convoluted or hard. I'm like, you have to remember a few things. And there's a couple of things like I know for a fact. And I told Ollie this. I was like, I know a few. The one thing like Nate'll get it. There's only a few things Nate'll ever yell at you about. It's like, if for example, Russ is right-handed, if you're rolling right and you throw it back across your body, that's like a no-no. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to do it. he will scream at you. He won't let you do it. But like, as long as you're, you know, making plays, making the right reads, he's the first person to tell you like the mesh concept. He's like a triangle read. He's like boom, boom, boom. Like, he's one of the best people of breaking down films. Like, you'll walk in on a Wednesday or, you know, first day of practice, the entire pause, every like last couple weeks of film of what they might do, what they've done in the past, what their coordinators have done will already have been broken down and be ready. So it's not like the guy just magically forgets what to do and doesn't know what to do to beat them.
Do you think that works two ways though, that argument, Ben, where like, is Russell Wilson just forgotten how to quarterback? I mean, he's played in two Super Bowls. He played at an MVP level like only a few years ago. Like, couldn't we say the same thing about him? Like, it's crazy to see this much of a drop off on his side.
Well, I mean, I feel like people could be saying the same exact thing about like Matt Ryan. Well, I don't understand why people aren't putting them in the same category. You know, like, people are saying like Matt Ryan's like been in the league, what, 13, 14 years, and they're like, oh, he's a super drop off. He should be being benched. But you know, Russ has been in the league 12 years and signing a 6-year, $280 million contract. I'm like, I don't really see a huge amount of difference. You know, they both intangibly, you know, obviously Russ has a bit more mobility. I don't see Matt Ryan outrunning very many people, but, you know, intangibles, they're not really that much difference. Arm strength, accuracy, they're both pretty much there. I feel like if you put them in a system that allows them to, you know, and to basically just have protection and make their reads, it's about making reads and throwing the ball accurately, which I think we saw repeatedly Russ not doing.
Yep.
And I don't know how many times we saw that there were guys open that he's not looking there, and I'm like, I know the play. Like, I mean, I talked with Ollie when we were commentating and saying like, I know that play. Like, I know that's in his top 15. And one of you want to talk about thing coaches say, one of Nate's things was always to say, don't go backwards. Always, you know, always be moving forward. You know, don't be losing yards on first down.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you lose yards on first down, then you're automatically off and whatever. So well, that's one of the big things with him. And they were always losing. They're always losing yards in first down. And then Russ is off. Russ and the entire offense was off. So I think they're still figuring out their identity, and they just cut him loose and use him as a scapegoat, which is unfortunate because, you know, someone else is going to get credit next year if he decides to, you know, find it, when in reality, you know, he's still figuring things out, which is
or Russell Wilson's going to be terrible next year as well, and then it's gonna,
it wasn't the coach was the problem, it wasn't the coach,
but it's too late.
In fairness to Russell Wilson, in that game at Wembley against the Jags, he didn't go backwards on that first play. He just almost gave the ball away on that first play. So, you know, he was trying something different rather than taking a loss. He was trying to just give it to the Jags straight away. It was very, very niche. See how it rolls and plays out in the long term. But
interesting strategy.
Yeah, yeah. Not conventional, but Russell Wilson's an unconventional guy. How do you win a Super Bowl? You throw that interception down at the 2-yard line. That's how you do it. It's all good. I really like that the refs, I'd never seen that until this year, by the way, the refs stood around at the goal line after that interception in the Super Bowl, and they were even saying to each other, why did they not run it with Marshawn? The refs are mic'd up, and they stood there on the goal line being like, why didn't they give it to Marshawn? It was crazy.
Yeah, because
so
the refs are mic'd because the refs get graded. So that's what you realize. The refs get graded after games. So the refs are mic'd up and everything.
Yeah, there must be so much good chat from them in the league at the end of the year. Right, just let's quickly run through the last one. Cowboys Bucks. Is Brady going to do a Brady and go like, we've seen it happen a couple of times where he goes like full intense psychopath mode, or are the Cowboys going to do a Cowboys and just balls things up right at the big moment? Like they were awful last. Right. They were so bad last week against the Commanders.
They were really bad. They were
the spread's only 3.5. And I think it's like, if you had thought a couple of weeks ago, that spread would have been 7, 8, like 9 even. Maybe because the Bucks are playing so badly and the Cowboys are playing so well, but it feels like they've come down to earth a bit. I don't know, is Brady's the only thing that, like, Tom Brady wasn't playing there and I just watched this Bucks team and it was just a quarterback who's nameless, then you just wouldn't think they had any hope in this game, really. But he's there, so
I think they do it. I think that's awesome. Oh, and there's three upsets this weekend for me. I think it's them, the Jags, and the Giants. I think those are the three upsets.
Yeah. It could happen.
49ers, Bengals, and... Oh, what's the team? Bills.
Bills. There you go.
They all win, but there's three upsets, and those three are the upsets. And I think that Brady will do it because it's hard to bet against him in January. He likes to win in January. And I just don't trust the Cowboys, and I also really don't like them. So... it's far easier to put money against them when you don't like the team.
I mean, I hate the Cowboys too. So,
welcome to the podcast, man. This is very anti-Cowboys.
Is there any professional reasons why that's the case, or is it kind of just personal reasons growing up?
I feel like it's just always growing up. I mean, I feel like I never actually played against them, so it's one of the few teams I've just disliked, and I feel like if I'd played against them, I'd probably be neutral, but I never played against them. So
I like that. No favorite team, but definitely dislikes the Cowboys anyway. That's a perfect reaction and response, man.
Yeah, but I feel like I agree. I mean, I feel like this being an indoor game too helps, but also I feel like Cowboys just not clicking. God, and I just don't feel like Dak is playing very well at all.
Yeah.
God, I mean, you have what, Tony Pollard not doing well. You had Zeke. Not show up. Got third. Who's their third down? Who's their third running back? He also was tied for first with rushing yards
last week. So I didn't see the third back.
Yeah, they had no rushing game. And when you usually have Tony Pollard and Zeke destroying it, both catching and rushing, and neither one of them were there. And then they couldn't do anything. They couldn't put together anything on offense. So I mean, if the only problem I think for the Bucks is, God, just turnovers, because they just turn, they put some points up, but they turn the ball over. They fumble like crazy.
Yeah.
They cannot stop turning the ball over. So, I mean, if they don't turn the ball over, I think they win the game.
I was trying to see if I was trying to get a Mike Evans update. You guys don't know anything I don't, do you? I can't see online if he's playing or not, because he missed the Falcons game.
He might just be being rested, in fairness.
No, it was with an illness. It was an illness. They could have been saying that, but I don't know why they would, because it's perfectly valid for them to rest him.
What about Russell Gage?
He played in the Falcons game, and then they pulled him later on, I think, but I don't know.
I couldn't tell if he just got the wind knocked out of him, or I think he was okay. Yeah.
I think that was more of a safety one. Than the Dalvin Cook one, obviously the Mike Williams one. I think that was right. Let's just not have this extrapolating anymore.
If neither of those guys are playing, that's a problem for Brady. Well, that's a big problem. So
going to be a Scotty Williams show.
Still back him against Trevon Diggs, in fairness.
Wow.
Well, just bait him on double moves all day.
Yep, all day.
He just wants to pick.
Yeah.
That's what you get when you have a receiver become a cornerback. He doesn't want. He's good at tackling. I'm not trying to take that away from him. But he always wants to get the ball in his hand, which is understandable. But he just takes so many chances. So many chances.
It's big risk, big reward.
Yeah, no risk it, no biscuit, as Bruce Arians says.
You got to risk it to get the biscuit.
Mm.
Yeah,
I think the Cowboys still win just because from what I've seen in watching a lot of like NFC South games this year, Brady just looks so frustrated.
He does. I will give.
I just don't. I don't know. Is he the same Tom Brady that we've seen every other season? I don't think he is, and I don't think that's necessarily his fault. That team is just not clicking at all. I wouldn't be surprised if he, whatever happens in this game, if he went to another team next year and still stayed in the NFL and did really well. But I don't know. This team
Dolphins,
just
apparently.
They've played some terrible games this year, the Bucks. Like, some terrible games. And the Cowboys have been consistently way better than them. So
they have had a much easier schedule. The NFC East has had a very favorable schedule this year.
Hang on, they've been playing. What about the divisional games in the South, Jazz? They're playing against the Falcons twice, the Saints, the Panthers. Come on, that's six games out of your 17. Like,
yeah, they both had favorable schedules then.
Yeah, trash. Trash.
If I don't think Brady retires this year, if Aaron Rodgers does, for sure. Because I think Brady wants to have, you know, when he said he was leaving and then came back, Brady wants to have like his big standalone moment. And his retirement was ruined because it came out just around the Super Bowl last year. And it was like, no, I want to have my moment in the sun. I want to have my moment in the sun. And if Rodgers retires the same offseason as Brady does, then I think Brady will be like, nah, come on, man. I don't want like the guy who was considered the best guy to play quarterback ever, even though he doesn't have as many rings as I do, retiring with me at the same time as well. And I think I just think he wants to have like that perfect me for the brand, for taking TB12 into like post NFL operation and everything as a performance dynamic institute or whatever he's going to do with it. And obviously for his broadcasting as well. I could just see him sticking around.
Shoot, he doesn't, honestly. I mean, I think he was thinking about doing it because of his family, which, I mean, sore subject, but...
Yeah, that's not a big problem anymore.
It's not an issue anymore.
Giselle, you can have the kids on Sundays, like...
I feel like that had to have been a sore time playing in Germany. God, that had to have been kind of rough. I would have thought he probably would have been happy about it beforehand, but probably was... A little rough afterwards.
Do you think it may have been better though? Because you're in the whole like it's still very different to a normal working week in that you're in Germany, you've got all the travel, all that kind of stuff, and you're quite isolated in a team bubble, aren't you, on those international game kind of trips? So you're almost less in that firing line with like US media, press, home life kind of being right in front of you.
If it was me, yes. Tom Brady, he's never away from the limelight.
Yeah,
I would say someone like me, I could stroll down the streets and, you know, skip along, and if I spoke German, I could just blend in. But you know, someone like Tom Brady, you know, he's not going anywhere.
I think he goes to the Raiders next year and hooks up with McDaniels. I think that's what happens because they've already pushed Derek Carr out. He's from the Bay Area. It just feels like that could be a place he could retire at.
Wins a Super Bowl with Devontae Adams that Rodgers was never able to give Adams as well. It's a nice little middle finger to Rodgers.
That's a good theory. I like that theory.
I think that's going to happen.
All right. We got some bets on for the playoffs then, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
I've only taken game lines. I'm pretty boring on this, but I'm taking the Niners to beat the Seahawks, the Jags to beat the Chargers, the Bills to beat the Dolphins, the Giants to beat the Vikings, the Bengals to beat the Ravens, and the Bucks to beat the Cowboys. It's only like 19-1.
I don't think that's boring.
It's 19
that's,
to 1.
That's kind of what I've got.
You flipped a couple of
I've
scripts
got,
there.
That's what I've got, but I've got some spreads in there. So I've taken, I only go for, in the playoffs, I'm only taking a -2.5 spread because I don't trust it to be more than a field goal because they can always be tight. But it's the 49ers, Bills, Bengals, and then by 2.5 points, and then Jags, Giants, Bucks. That was 20-1. So you're not very interested.
Yeah, pretty much the same.
I've gone a little bit higher. So I've got 41-1. I've got the Jags. I've got the Bengals. I got the Cowboys, which I don't feel good about.
Oh,
but...
I feel bad about that.
No, you should feel dirty about that.
Yeah.
It's happened. I got the Seahawks +9.5 because I think, you know, playoff game, they could keep it tight with the 49ers in the fourth quarter, hopefully. And then I've got the Giants, and I've got the worst bet of this one, I think, is the Dolphins +13. Even though we talked about it, I just don't see that.
They cover this.
So we're definitely going to lose because we've all picked the Giants, we've all picked the Jags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, there's not many games to choose from, Jazz. We're going to have some crossovers. Come on.
If you're putting money on it, what would you pick for your 16 bet?
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to go any money lines or anything. I'm just going to go straight up. So, I mean, I'm going to go Niners. I mean, I'm going to go Jags. Yeah. Bills. I am going to take Vikings because as much as I would like the Giants to win, but I just don't think, unfortunately.
They'll do it. But yeah, enough.
I don't think they're going to do it. I think Bengals because I don't think even healthy Lamar is going to. I don't even think a healthy Lamar can do it, Ben. And I am going to take the Bucks because I just think the Cowboys, if the Cowboys offense showed up. Yeah, if the Cowboys offense showed up, I think it would be a different story, but yeah. I think the Bucks are going to take this one.
Well, it keeps him with the Cowboys narrative too, doesn't it? With start well, get the hype, maybe make the playoffs, first round playoff exit. We're terrible, you're useless. Start the hype again, and the circle just keeps on repeat.
America's team.
Oh. Like hell.
Well, Ben, they're not
America's team, by the way. They're Texas's team. No, they're the greater Dallas.
Dallas is greater Dallas area. They're not
even Texas's team. So,
if you were to put money on it, I know you said you're not going to, but if anybody who's listening wants to put money on Ben's bet, at the moment it's getting you 11.55 to 1, which, you know, that's a nice return. I'd take that. Right. I only put a pound on it. Jazz maybe puts more on. By the way, congratulations, Jazz, on the victor last week.
Second win of the year.
What was that? Nice. £200.
£250.
Very well played. So Jazz is making the podcast work for him now.
I would congratulate you, Jazz, but you're incredibly rude on our messaging service when you did win. Even though I was being kind about you, you really rubbed it in our faces. So I wish you bad luck from now.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some wins and bets you would be able to kind of get your own back. Maybe that'll help.
Maybe it'll happen this week. Ben, wish you all the best luck, mate. Really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with us this evening, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
The Koi Monster on Twitter, KOYMONSTER. The Koi Monster himself, Ben Koyak. Dude, yeah, hopefully we'll get chatting again soon, whether it's at a London game or somewhere around TalkSport or something like that. But yeah, really appreciate it, mate. Thank you.
I appreciate you having me.
Take care.
All right.
Before you go, Ben, what's the thing to your left shoulder? Is that a Christmas tree?
It is a mini Christmas tree that has been left duct taped on because my daughter broke it almost immediately.
Oh, good.
I suddenly thought you were even larger a human than you probably are, Ben.